Hi, I'm Whitney Lee, founder of Socially PR and Digital Media, and for over a decade, I've been creating and executing marketing and PR plans for businesses all over the U.S. I'm obsessed with helping entrepreneurs bring their big ideas to life and, most importantly, boost their bottom line. The Socially Relevant Podcast is a resource to give you clarity, ideas, and inspiration that you can actually apply to marketing your business. So you won't find any overwhelming tech talk here. We're breaking down all the details in a way that's fun and easy to understand, giving you tangible ways to take action. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, welcome back. It is time for another interview episode. I'm excited to have this lady on the show because she's like one of my very close personal friends, but she's also a genius in the world of blogging. Please welcome to the show, Laura Holloway.
Hello. That's a lot of pressure to be called a genius.
I think you're a genius. So Laura is the founder of Storyteller Agency. Laura, when did we meet?
I'm going to say it's about 10 years ago. No, oh my God. 9 years ago.
Something like that. It was probably like 2015 or 16. 15.
It's been a hot minute. It has been a hot minute. A lot of good memories crammed into the past 7 or 8 years of knowing you. I have to say that. Like, I feel like I've known you for longer because we've had a lot of adventures in between meeting you and now.
Exactly. Laura and I met around town. Like, we both lived in the Destin 38 area, and she had her own agency, and we connected. We were on FPRA board together, Florida PR Association. We had our girls poker group, which was, I don't know how to play poker. So I lost a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your donation.
But
I think that's one of my favorite times is like during that time in our lives, excuse me, before I love my kids, I love being a mom, but that time in your late 20s, right before you have kids, or in your mid 20s, right before you have kids, and you just really love and have time with your girlfriends. Those were good times.
God, now I'm like in my mid 30s and I still don't have kids, and it's a really good time.
You can have one or both of mine anytime you want.
Well, they're adorable. So I'm pumped to have you on the show today. The main reason why I thought of you, other than being just one of my faves, is I know you have a ton of knowledge about blog writing. So first off, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Storyteller Agency, how you got in the biz, all the stuff about you and the agency.
Well, I kind of got into the content marketing industry by accident. My background was in performance, and I was working in film and television and doing all this stuff out in Los Angeles. And my husband got through a series of different moves and promotions, he was promoted to a job in Phoenix, Arizona. So we moved there. At the time, there wasn't like a booming film and television industry there. And one of my degrees is in journalism, and I always really liked writing. I'm told that I'm a good writer. And I was like, okay, what can I do with this? And so there was a marketing agency there in Scottsdale that was hiring for a content writer. And I didn't really know what that meant, but it had the word writer in it. And I was like, okay, I can do this. And I applied and got the job. And for a while, I actually worked as a link builder. I was doing about half of it was content marketing and about half was link building, which anybody that's in that side of marketing kind of understands that's where you're going out there and you're buying placements for people. You're buying links, you're getting some inbound and outbound links to your website, which increases your Google juice. I'll call it your Google juice. So, but then I really got into heavy content writing where I was writing people's blogs. I was writing people's different marketing pieces for their flyers, for their brochures, for their newsletters all across the board. And I kind of started to learn the science behind content marketing, which I could geek out on it and tell you all the ins and outs, but basically the short version of it is Google has bots and spiders and crawlers that are constantly crawling the web looking for new and interesting content. Google's mission since the beginning is about the user experience. Now, of course, they're playing to advertisers and it's a money-making business, as we know, but they've always been extremely interested in getting that user experience right. So they want to make sure that when Whitney Lee goes on and she types something in her Google search engine, that they're matching her with the best content based on what she's searching for. So the science behind it is creating the content that catches the eye of Google. And the easiest way to accomplish that is through blogs. It's the most natural, easy way to put regular content out on your website. And yeah, that's and so I got into it. When I started my company, we moved to Florida. Several years after I was working for this company, I started my own agency. I had no idea what I was doing business-wise. I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, but I had never started my own business other than like a lemonade stand or a rock painting. Painted a lot of rocks on vacation and sold them to sympathetic people passing by. But starting this business, my former boss that I'd worked for, he acted as a real mentor for me and helped me start the business. And it wasn't really any competition for him. They're a huge agency on the other side of the country. And so I started it. And of course, when you start a company, you'll do anything. I was like, if somebody would contact me and be like, oh, do you do SEO ads? And I'm like, yes, I do. And then I'm up all night Googling how to do SEO ads. So eventually over the years, I built up enough clientele in the writing side of it that now my company, and for the past 4 or 5 years, has been a true writing agency. And so we focus on creating content for clients across the world that helps them be found on Google, ideally on page one.
Wow. So do you work on specific industries? Like, do you have a niche in regards to industry or anything you won't touch?
I won't take two industries at the same time because their content will compete. So I would never take two hamburger restaurants at the same time. I would never take two. I've got a medical device company that I work with in Israel. I would never take something that competed with them. It's a very niche. The content, the keywords that are going out are very specific. And so taking someone else in that industry would be a pretty big competition.
Interesting, because my agency is a different, like the complete opposite of that. Like, we specialize in like hospitality, resorts, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But in our world, it's so much different. I mean, in the social space, there's room for everybody. There's always more likes, comments, shares. In PR, there's everybody can get exposure kind of thing. But yeah, that is a really good point about yours. Like, you're actually vying for the same keywords.
Yeah. The content competes. I mean, when somebody is searching for best yellow chairs, if you've got two companies that are selling yellow chairs, it doesn't help either one of them to compete against each other.
So. Well, it doesn't help you either, because then they're not succeeding. So they're turning around and looking at you like, why aren't we succeeding?
Sure. And blogging, I mean, you probably know this as a marketing guru yourself. Blogs are like the hardest thing to convince people that they need as part of their portfolio. And it is the longest lasting, most valuable thing you could buy. Yep. I've got several clients that have dumped hundreds of thousands of dollars into SEO advertisement and pay-to-play placement. And there is 100% a need for that. You absolutely have to have that. But if you're not coupling it with these more evergreen strategies like blogging, your website, once those ads are gone, they're gone. I compare it to like people that put money. I live in Cookeville, Tennessee, and while it is extremely progressive in a lot of ways, a lot of the marketing is a little behind. Some businesses are still like, they're putting ads in the newspaper. That's how they're reaching their audience. And granted, some of their audience are only reading the newspaper. There's an old market here in Cookeville, Tennessee, but once that ad is gone, it's gone forever. And if you have a blog on your website, it continues to gain in importance and continues to boost your website forever. And it's the best way you can control your own message and your own content.
Preach, sister. Every time we try to talk to a client about putting a blog on their website, the first thing they say is like, why though? No one's going to read our blog. And I'm like, listen, it doesn't matter if no one ever reads the blog. Google is reading your blog. That's the only person that really matters.
Google's reading the blog. And the thing too that's scary that a lot of people don't think of and realize, and this is something I always explain when I'm in the sales pitch, because this is a very, very valid point. Your competitors are blogging. And the more content they're putting out, the way that Google's algorithms work, they'll come to your website. Let's say they come on a Monday. Let's say the bots crawl your website on a Monday. They index and document all your content. They come back the following Monday. If there's no new content, there's something within that algorithm that may prevent it from coming back for a month. Now, if your competitors are blogging every week, their content is continually getting updated and indexed and moving up onto page one. So it's a Google rewards good, consistent content. And that is why you should blog. It's not because anybody's reading it. I mean, hell, a lot of people too associate blogging. They're like, oh, well, I'm not a mommy blogger. Oh, well, nobody wants to read my journal. Well, nobody's reading your journal, dude. Like, Google is reading for keywords, and you have to put out content that's 800 or 900 words at least. Stuff full of the right content, done in the right way, so that it's engaging and meaningful content. I'm not saying you just put crap out there and hope that it works. It needs to be well written and intelligent, representative of your brand. But we're not worried about Kathy Johnson over there in Piedmont, North Dakota, picking up your blog every week. We're worried about Google's algorithms continuing to document your content as much as they are your competitors.
Yeah. So when somebody's looking for the yellow chair, you're popping up.
Yellow chair popping up.
You've got all the relevant content. Okay. So when you have a client and you are deciding what you're going to write on, like maybe you're doing one blog a week, is that kind of what you suggest?
Usually when we come in with a new client, we'll do two blogs a week for the first 3 months. And it's just kind of a way to just get in there, beef up the content, get on Google's radar, like, hey, there's a lot of good content coming out of this place, and try to get a lot of those articles linked on other sites, having some outbound links come in, having some inbound links coming back into your site, coming to those blog posts. So that's the first. That's the first three months. And then after that, at least once a week. I mean,
That leads me.
The more, the better.
Yeah. That leads me on a little spider question. How do you get backlinks? And people ask me all the time, what is a backlink? So, and just giving you a little context, people who listen to this podcast, it's like a mixture. Some of them are like skilled marketers. And other are people who own their own business and they're trying to like bootstrap. So
Figure it out.
Yeah. For like the newbies, I always try to break it down. If we use an industry term like backlinks, like what is that? Why do they need that?
Backlinks are one of the most valuable tools you can have in your internet arsenal, because it's other people with valuable websites out there saying, hey, this person's got some value on their website and I'm going to link to it. The more backlinks you've got, the better your website's going to do on Google. There's an entire industry focused on link building, which is reaching out there to people. That's why I get tons of I get at least 7 or 8 queries a week from different. I know they're link builders because I did it back in the day. They don't say that. They're like, hi, I'm a link builder. I'm looking for a link. They'll say, hey, I'm so and so from Johnny on the Spot Marketing, and we actually have a great article that would be a great fit for your website. We noticed that you talk about SEO a lot on your website. I've got this original piece of content that we've written for you. Would you mind placing it on your website? Well, they want me to place it on my website because it's got a link back to their website within the article.
Yep.
They'll pay for that placement. They'll pay hundreds of dollars. It depends on what your website is ranked. The way that Google, here's another geeking out science Google thing real quick. The way that Google ranks your content, how you move up on page one, is based on your domain authority and your page rank. Pages are ranked from 1 to 10. Google, Amazon, those are 9 and 10s. New York Times, 8, 9. You're ranked based on how many people are linking back to your content on your website. And the way that you get those links is you create good content that people want to share to naturally, or you create content and you target it towards people that have already high ranking websites that you want them to share that article on their website and link back to yours. That's that backlink that we're talking about.
Totally. So prime example, we write a blog for one of our resort clients, and we wrote about like 3 new places to eat in Destin. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the resort people were like, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with selling rooms on our resort. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, but these are all key terms. Like in the blog, it was talking about Destin Commons, Destin Harbor, like all these like terms that people are searching regularly. And I mean, the blog got a ton of hits. We put it on Pinterest. It took off through Pinterest of people, I guess, planning their vacation to Destin. Something like that is a prime example. So it's like, you know, clients don't always understand, like, again, like, why are we educating people on where to eat? We're trying to sell rooms. And I'm like, yeah, but
you want everybody to find your website. It's not just the people that are wanting to book the room that you want to find the website. You want everybody to find it. I use my website as an example a lot because we've had so much success with the content marketing strategy. So when I started my company 9 years ago, I started blogging every single day. I mean, I was blogging every day for a while, and then I was blogging at least once a week. And I built up years and years of content. And over those years, we hit some zingers with what people were searching for. When I started my company, storytelling was not even a buzzword yet. It was like right on the cusp of it. And we had a blog that went out that was 50 best quotes about storytelling. And that particular blog post brings 50,000 unique visitors to my website every month.
Wow.
That blog post, because that's what people are searching for. They search the term best quotes about storytelling. And I'm the number two article there because it's been there for so long, because this content continues to gain importance. And I mean, that for any reason, right? I mean, that's your reason. That's why people need to blog. It's bringing people to the website and it's increasing traffic so that when somebody is looking for writing services, they find me on page one.
Yep.
You have to creating those blog posts so that they are Google, so that they're created for the Google user. That's the most important part. You have to think like a Googler. Like, how do you Google things? You're not going to Google 60 ways to look for a seashell upon the beach. No, but instead you're like, how to find a seashell in Destin, Florida.
Yeah.
Where do I go to find, where's the best sunset on 30A? What are people searching for? What to do when it rains? This was another one I had for a client years ago that did so well. And it was like, what to do when it rains in Destin.
Yep.
And that's what people were looking for. Were they a rain seller? No. Were they anywhere even mentioned in the article of things to do? Of course not. They were a vacation rental management company.
Yep.
But people found them. And then while they were there on the site, you know what? They made a booking.
Yep.
They decided they were coming back, or they were going to come again, or they remembered, hey, those are the people that really helped us out that year. We had that shitty rainy vacation and we're going to call them next time.
Yeah. It's brand awareness. So when I was at the Hilton, like literally 10 years ago, we were introducing this idea to the owners of the resort, and we were building out this whole portion of their website of like things to do for kids, outdoor activities in Destin, like all this kind of stuff. And same thing, the owners were like, I don't understand. Like, why are we promoting Baytown Zipline when we're, you know, that has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And also it's a good opportunity for strategic partnerships in your content. I mean, if you've got a list of preferred vendors, you start working those into the article too. And then maybe that's an upsell for them next year when it's contract time.
Yeah.
Hey, we'd love to mention you on our blog. That's going to be an extra X amount of dollars per month or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, it's so true. And like another term that we talked about earlier, maybe we should break this one down, outbound versus inbound. Mm-hmm. Like people, I feel like people don't really understand what that means. In my mind, it's like working smarter, not harder. You know, speak on that for a sec. Like, what is outbound versus inbound?
An article on Google is going to be considered more robust and more meaningful in the eyes of Google's algorithm if it has both inbound and outbound links.
Mm-hmm.
Now, outbound links are something you can control. There used to be, and I've been out of the SEO game for long enough that I would have to get a refresher course on what's going to ping you negatively in Google's algorithm. It used to be porns, pills, and gambling. If you had any websites that sold porn or advertised for porn, sold any kind of pills or any kind of gambling, if any of those sites were linking back to your site, it would negatively affect your website, and vice versa. If you were linking to any of them, it would negatively affect. There's also a series of, well, I could talk about that in a minute, but outbound and inbound links. Like if you're creating your article about 10 best things to do in Destin when it rains, if each one of those things is actually linked to the place you're talking about, if you're making it easy for the user to go from one place to another, that's your outbound link, and Google considers that helpful. It's almost like you're serving as a guide for them, a roadmap to go to other places on the web.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said,
a lot of people don't want to do that. People don't, they think of it as like, no, I don't want to lead them away from my website. I'm like, just open the link in a new window.
Well, and I was going to say, that being said too, you want some of your other outbound links to actually be internal, to link back to something else within your site. When you've built up enough content, then you're linking to other articles that you've written. You're linking to your client services, you're linking to other client services.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can kind of play together, and Google's rules there's things called black hat techniques when it comes to link building, and there's things that are considered gray hat and white hat. There's a whole science behind it. You can go down this crazy rabbit hole, but basically you want to avoid anything that's considered a black hat technique because it'll hurt you. They could even de-index you and you'll disappear entirely from Google.
Yeah. Even in the word like outbound and inbound, like we use that in the marketing world too. Like outbound is like mm-hmm. going out looking for clients. Inbound is like, how do you attract them in? I think that's like mm-hmm. the basis of all blogging is like, sure. you're bringing them in before they even know they're looking for a hotel. I just use that example because obviously we yeah. work with a lot of hotels, but
totally.
I mean, it can work really in any industry. Before they're even looking for furniture, they find the yellow mm-hmm. chair company, you know, mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. it's time to buy the furniture for the new house, they right. know you, they recognize you, they remember you.
Well, there's a, you know, there can be a responsibility in good blogging where you are inspiring them to make a purchase, or you are inspiring them to make a decision, or you're inspiring them to feel better about themselves, or you're inspiring them to look at the world in a different way. So your blog can do a lot of different things. It can, you know, it can work on the science side, but it's also something else I tell my clients is your blog is your only place that you can completely control your messaging.
Mm-hmm.
Out there putting negative reviews about your business or talking shit about your business on their blog. Your blog is your message controlled for as long as you want it. And so it's very important that you take control of that opportunity on your website. Any website can have a blog and should. Like there's no reason it shouldn't. Otherwise, you don't have a natural way to add new content on a regular basis. And if you're not adding new content on a regular basis, Google will forget your website is there. They yeah. will forget you. And yeah. so will your clients. So will your potential clients.
You're stale. And then you just get buried by everybody else.
Done.
So
done. They say the best place to hide a dead body is on page 2 of Google because nobody goes there. I mean, I do the same thing. Like if I don't find what I'm looking for on page 1, I change my search query. I don't go to page 2 because I'm like, well, they're not going to have what I need there. If I didn't find it here, it's not there. So
yeah, we don't want to work for it in today's world.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I want like a quick search. No, we're so spoiled.
Nope. Oh, so spoiled.
So if somebody is like, maybe this is a business owner listening or a marketer and they're like, man, I know I need to get a blog started. What's like the 101? Like if you were starting off blogging for somebody, what would you say they need to do?
Well, you should have done it 10 years ago, but the next best time is right now. And you just have to do it because it doesn't have to be intelligent. It doesn't have to be funny. Definitely, if you're not a writer, at least have someone proof it for you before you put it out there. These are your words going out there. But just get started on a blog. There's lots. If your website doesn't already have blog capabilities, get a different website. I don't know what those would be now that you wouldn't really have the capability to have that. Have your web developer build you a small WordPress page connected to your blog, or if you haven't even started any of that yet, Squarespace is so easy for people that are trying to get into blogging or building their own website. And this is not a paid promotion. I love Squarespace. I have mentioned them all the time. I think they're very user-friendly and easy. And just start doing it. Make a plan for yourself. Every Tuesday morning, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to write an hour's worth of whatever this is, and I'm going to get it out there. If you have money to do it properly, get someone to do some keyword research for you. Get someone to find out what you really need to be including in your content. And then if you really have some money to invest it, have somebody else write your content for you. That's the best way to do it. And I say that as someone who owns a writing agency, but also someone who is a business owner. I don't write my own blogs. I have someone else do it. So you have to take care of your business from the inside out. And the easiest way to do that online is with blogs.
Yep. 100%. Okay. So if somebody's new and they're trying to figure out, I see a lot of people trying this, but they're like, I don't freaking know what to write about. Like, how do they go about picking topics that will be attractive to Google?
There's several different ways you can do this. And some of the easiest ways to do one, get out a calendar and see what holidays are coming up, things that might apply to your industry. We keep kind of going back to the vacation hospitality zone because we're both playing in that field. But, you know, if it's 3 weeks until spring break, that's a good time for a spring break, or three months till spring break, that's a good time for a spring break article to go out. If summer's coming up, it's a good idea for summer to come up, you know, where to vacation on the beach at Christmas. Another good way to look for things is just sit down and write down a list of all the questions you get about your business on a regular basis. What are the questions that you're constantly asked by customers? And then answer each one of those with a separate blog. So if you're constantly getting a question about if you're an air conditioning company, how much does it cost to have your air conditioned serviced? Well, that's the title of your blog post. How much does it cost to get your air conditioned serviced? And nowhere in that article do you ever actually answer that question, because you don't want to commit to a price within your blog to make it evergreen. But you answer a whole bunch of different questions and stuff it full of those great keywords. How much does it cost to service your air conditioning? Service your air conditioning in Northwest Florida. Florida Air Conditioning Services, whatever those are. So that's a good way, answering questions that your customers ask on a regular basis. And then another good tip that I'd give you too is, if you go on Google and you type in, I'm going to type in breakfast in Destin, Florida. Scroll all the way to the bottom where it gives you those other suggested topics. Scroll all the way to the bottom of that first page of Google, and it's going to give you different things that people are already searching for about the topic you're looking for. So these are some potential topics: breakfast in Destin on the water, breakfast in Miramar Beach, best breakfast in Miramar Beach, bottomless mimosas in Destin, Florida. These would all be great articles. Five great places to get a bottomless mimosa in Destin, Florida. These are things that Google is telling you people are already searching for. So those are my insider tricks just for you and your listeners. I wouldn't tell anybody else that without an hourly rate. So you're welcome.
That's awesome. I know that the people listening appreciate it so much too. So
it's the easiest way to do it is just to give yourself, just answer the questions that people are already asking. That's the best way to start your blog, and then mingle in a few blogs about the good deeds you're doing in the community. Talk about what your business is doing. Good things, sprinkling a little cause marketing, and then every now and then sprinkling something about your team. Introduce them to your team members. Talk about your company culture. People want to do business with people, not business. And so that's something to remember with your blog too.
Especially millennials, and even more so Gen Z. They are like all about like corporate responsibility, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yep.
Well, very cool. God, I feel like we could talk about this all day long, but hopefully for everybody listening, that's at least somewhere to start. I think people make it harder than it really is.
It's just starting.
Yeah, just start.
Starting is the hardest part. Just do it. Just start it. Just commit to it. Some other ways to do it, it will be more beneficial to you in the long run to have professionals help you start the process at least, or to write your content for you. But if you're a new business, or you're right there on the bootstraps of your budget, and we have all been there when we're in the beginning, find an intern that can write. Contact your local college journalism department and hire an intern specifically for your blog.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're not, they need the experience just as much as you need their work. It helps them build a portfolio of work that they can say is published online, and you're able to get your writing at a deal. So that'd be another tip I'd say is reach out to some of these younger writers that need the experience and need to build their portfolio and help you start building your content, because it just becomes your blog and your website become more and more valuable and important the more content that's there.
Yeah, totally. And okay, I have one. I have a mistake that makes me nuts. People have a blog, but it's a completely different site from their website. So you go to their website and you're like looking at their real website, and then when you click on blog, it reverts you out to a whole different site. And I'm like, this is defeating the purpose.
There's actually an industry term for that, and it's called dumb as shit to do that. You're literally taking people away from your website. You're taking your Google juice to a whole other place. And that's the dumbest thing you could do, for sure. Why even do it?
I see it all the time in international businesses. People, I'm like, what are you doing? No, who said this was a good idea?
The
purpose is to build your site, to build your ranking, and you're putting it somewhere else. You're splitting your eggs between two baskets.
Yeah.
Powerful tool is somewhere else other than your actual website.
I know. Well, people don't know what they don't know. You know, and it's not like it's a purposeful mistake. It's just like if I went in and started trying to figure out how to do surgery on somebody, I don't know about that. I'm gonna hire a surgeon.
Yeah.
But I would definitely get in there and do some stupid stuff first, trying to figure it out. So you know, you just don't know what you don't know, but definitely you want to keep all that traffic on one site, your URL, whichever URL it is. And yeah.
I feel like I should write a blog that's like the mistakes people make in marketing. I could just go down the list of things that I
stupid marketing.
Yeah. I see people doing things and they have a good intention in mind, like starting a blog, but then they make a huge, very crucial mistake, like putting it on a different site.
Yeah.
And it's defeating the purpose and they're wasting their time, their money, everything.
I know.
That should be a whole blog post.
Well, hey, if you ever want to do like the best of dumb marketing things that people have done, I can definitely contribute to that list.
We could probably start a whole podcast on that.
Stupid marketing.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. You have to be varied with what you're doing. If you get stuck in one type of marketing, you're only going to reach one type of audience. And a lot of marketing tactics are fleeting and you need that. You need the immediate, but anything you can get on your own website and keep it there will gain importance and will help your website for as long as it's there.
Yeah.
Until Al Gore comes back and then erases the internet. Didn't he like say he built the internet or something? Yeah. So whenever he's done with the internet, he can just delete it and then we're good.
Thanks, Al. Well, okay. So I know you have a new project you're working on, a little different than the agency that I wanted to make sure we got an opportunity to talk about that. Cause this is like hot and recent. So tell me what's happening with Storyteller House.
Yeah. Well, about 4 years ago, I was part of a group that formed a theater company, started a theater company, and we didn't have a theater space. We were kind of working out of other people's theaters here in town. And then things just really started to take off. We had an improv troupe that was doing really good. Everything was going great. And then COVID. And so then we came kind of out on the other side of COVID, which are we? I don't even know. I don't even know what to believe anymore. But here we are. We're going for it. So a space became available. I have always wanted to own and operate a theater, and I just went for it and moved into the space and turned it into a theater. And now it is a performance and visual arts house, and artists come and teach classes here and performers come and perform here. And I sit over here and work on my blog at my desk.
I love it. And y'all do improv shows?
Yes.
I love improv.
I know. You're going to have to come up. You're going to have to come up for a show and a weekend and let me show you all the sites of Cookville. It'll take about 10 minutes to see all the sites, but we've got a few.
I love it. Well, I'm so happy for you. A Storyteller Agency and house. I feel like you're crushing it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm getting crushed. I would say I'm trying to crush, but I'm getting crushed, but it's you know, you got to follow your passions and make it happen. Nobody else is going to do it for you.
Preach. If somebody wants to reach out and connect with you, if they want to talk more about blogging, or maybe they want to hire you, tell everybody how to find you.
Yep. Storytelleragency.com. You can send me a message there, or you are welcome to visit storytellerhouse.com. If you're anywhere near the Cookeville, Tennessee area and want to come by for a show or a class, we're going to start doing some live streaming of our show starting in 2023. So I'll let you know about those. It's going to be fun. There's always room for more comedy and laughter in the world. So we're going to hope to be putting that out to a bigger audience next year.
Cookeville, Tennessee. For anyone who doesn't know,
you got to pronounce it like Cookeville, Tennessee. Yuns. It's right in there between Nashville and Knoxville, right there off I-40 by the Cracker Barrel.
I feel like you've said that a time or two.
It's really not as small as I'm making it out to be. It's a very big place now. There's a college here. I mean, like, there's a lot here, and it has been continuously growing. And I moved back here after being gone for 20 years, and I still have like that, it's my hometown, I'm gonna make fun of it mentality. But yeah, it's a good place. We came back here for a reason. So, yeah.
Right. Well,
thanks for having me on your show. I'm proud of you and everything you're doing. You look great.
Thanks, sister. Thank you for coming on the show. Y'all make sure you reach out, connect with Laura if you want to talk about blogging. She's the queen and she's just a cool chick too. So you'll have a great time.
Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. If you thought the info was beneficial, it would mean so much if you take a quick second to write us a review and share it on social media. If you have a question about a topic or a specific industry you want to learn more about, reach out to us on Socially's Instagram or LinkedIn. And you can also find me personally, The Whitney Lee, on Instagram. We are excited to connect with you and help you make your business more socially relevant.